This is the Marketing and Mimosas podcast. I'm Ashley Paragoy. This is where my team and I at Funnel Brew get to share with you all the things around being a parent, being an entrepreneur, and keeping up with the digital marketing Joneses. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into this next episode. And be sure that if you love this podcast, subscribe and leave your review. Thank you so much. And let's jump in. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Today, we've got Lisa and Cassidy on, so say hello.
Hi.
Hey.
We're going to be going into using Google Ads or Facebook Ads for your course. And if you are on the fence about which one to use, or you've tried one or the other, but maybe you're thinking about using the other one, or you're just brand new to this completely, it doesn't matter. This is going to be really helpful podcast for you to listen into, because things are constantly changing, as you know. And some of the key things that we want to emphasize on this with you are just the need of the privacy policy and kind of touching on the pixel and how that works. And then also creating the experience, using platform friendly techniques to get your ad out there, the most bang for your buck. And then just some general best practices for Google Ads and Facebook Ads, how to measure success, and then also just what to do when your account gets suspended or flagged, because it's inevitable. It does happen, happens way more than maybe even you realize. So we're just going to go over these things so that you can avoid that, or be able to just solve it, because there is a solution behind it. But it just takes a little bit of patience. So we're going to hit on all of those things. And these are just all 2023 friendly solutions and practices. So without further ado, what about before I go into it, like anything fun this weekend, any fun stories? I know that Cassidy, you're pregnant and you're having some funness with that, but yeah.
Always
may be allergic to everything.
Right? I could just sit in a chair and that's about it.
Oh my gosh. Lisa, what about you? Any fun stories from the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, so we recently, as you guys, Ashley and Cassidy know, brought our horses from a different property that we own to where we live on our farm, which the girls have just loved. But we decided that we were going to, even though it was like 17 degrees this weekend, that we, the girls, wanted to do pony rides. And so we go out there and I'm letting Eleanor, my middle child, ride on one of our horses. And behind me, my wild child and oldest, Evelyn, decides she's just going to jump on her mini and run across the field.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. I feel like that just sums up my life. Like those 15 minutes.
My goodness. Bye.
Always keep on your toes.
Yeah, you just wait.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Yes. No, I'm looking forward to spring. Like it was so cold this weekend.
I know. Yes.
And then today it's supposed to be like pretty warm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all over the place. Yeah. All over the place. For those of you who are listening, us three are actually in the same area. So we're all in Virginia, but yeah, it's crazy, just like it is everywhere else. I mean, like Texas was getting ice storms and stuff, and we've barely had anything. So yeah, it's weird. It's very strange. All right. So let's talk about your course and promoting that and using ads to do that. We've touched on this a little bit in some recent episodes without going into too much detail. And of course, Facebook ads and Google Ads aren't the only avenues to advertise on, but those are the two primary ones that we hear of and the ones that typically get the most traction and the most people wanting to try them. Now, with a course, I will tell you that you definitely don't want to send them to your website. You want to send them to an actual funnel and an experience. You want to collect leads. You want to nurture them. And then you can go in numerous different directions, whether it's an upsell, a downsell, or, you know, straight into your offer. So there's all different types of creatives that you can do with that. The thing that you want to think about most and foremost is going to be how it starts, because the starting point of your funnel from in either of Google or Facebook needs to be Google or Facebook friendly. And what I mean by that is they are, as with most platforms, they want to keep you on their platform as much as possible. And I don't know if Facebook is doing this now, but I know that a few months ago, I noticed it a lot. And it was whenever somebody would click on an ad, and if it was leaving Facebook, it would have this pop-up. And it would say, you know, you're leaving Facebook, as if like you need to be fearful for your life. I mean, the way that it was structured was kind of like, oh no, like I'm going into bad territory. Where you would just click OK, and then it would take you to the page that it was going to. And I don't know if they have solved that or not. I feel like it's not consistent either way. Sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't. So whatever it is, something will trigger that. And that's something to be mindful of, because that's one of the things, like, do you want your customers to experience that? So a solution around that for Facebook specifically would be that you're running what they call lead ads. And doesn't mean you can't sell that way, but it's an embedded form within Facebook so that you can collect leads. And that's really the prime target or the prime objective that you should be focusing on with your course, whether that's a launch that's coming up or a launch that's active right now. Even if you want to do an evergreen, do the lead generation. Evergreen meaning if you're going to sell something all the time, you also want to be building your leads all the time. So leads are awesome. Leads are what you want. Leads are going to build up your email list. And that is what's going to allow you to retarget and nurture and educate and all of those fun things. So if you play by the rules and you stick to their platform, you're going to find that you're paying less per click. You're going to pay less per conversion. It's still something that you want to watch, obviously, because if you've run Facebook ads in the past ever, or you're running Facebook now where you've got like two different types of campaigns, one that's staying on the platform, one that's leaving, this is something that you're going to want to measure. You're going to want to see, like, which one am I getting the most impressions on? Which one am I getting the most clicks on? How valuable are those clicks? Like, are they bot clicks? Like, those are not valuable. Or are they actual people that are converting? So these are things that you definitely need to measure and make that choice. But this is something to consider. So if you're just starting off, I would play by the rules first and just see how that goes. Start with a lower budget and work your way up from there. On the landing page that you can create within Facebook, you can add a video or you can add an image. So that same image that you're wanting to use within Facebook ads, like as if it were, you know, the old school way or one of the ways still, is the same image that you can use within their built-in landing page. Now, the tricky part, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's where a lot of people get stuck, is connecting that lead form to your current CRM or your email marketing platform. Luckily, Facebook has made it somewhat easy. They do have a lot of options in there for you to easily integrate. But if your platform isn't in there, then go get Zapier, and Zapier will do the work for you. It's Zapier. It's an easy concept. You can just connect the dots. Hey, lead gens, go to my email marketing platform and here it is. You plug that in. That way you don't have to go in to Facebook and export them and then import them and do all this extra stuff when you can just automate it. But then that way you're able to collect those leads. And then the beauty of it is that after they put in their opt-in form on a Facebook form, you can have a link of your choice that goes to maybe the next step. And at that point, you could put in like a thank you page or an upsell page or whatever you want them to go to. You put that in there and then they can be redirected to that. So there's one option. And I know that Google has the same type of thing, but they also have like other things that they're testing out, like with AI videos and stuff. So we have an in-house Google Ads expert, and Lisa and I actually have been doing Google Ads for a really long time, but this girl like takes it up a notch because she's way ahead of the things that are rolling out, where we're like using the things that probably most Google Ads experts are using, but she's like 10 steps in front of us. So it's really cool to see.
She's certified. She used to work for Google. So she's got all the ins and she stays up to date, and they actually notify her. I think she said almost a year prior to notifying the general public.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So Lisa, do you want to share some of the things that I know that she's tried with clients? And I know she's working up a campaign for us too, to roll out. So the tools that she's using are blowing my mind, and I'm like super excited about it at the same time, because I love testing out new things. I'm like all about the new things. Like, yes, let's move on. Let's do the new things. I'm not fearful of that. I know that some people are. But for me, I'm like, hey, you're going to play in their sandbox and they're going to love you for that.
Right. Well, and like, I think one of the things I've noticed the most with her in terms of like what I'm used to doing and looking for and how she operates is, she, similar to what we would normally do when we take on a client, like she does a full audit of sort of what's out there, right? Like we do market research, we see what competitors are doing. And she digs down into, you know, all the keyword research and who's on top and who's bidding the most and who's winning and why. And, we were running a campaign. What's that?
She's so detailed.
Oh, I know. She's very detailed.
Yeah. And like she notices things. Like for instance, we were running campaigns for a client and it was going well, right? Like we were above kind of the thresholds we want to be with our click-through rate and what the spend was per click. And she had mentioned that within the last 60 days to starting this campaign, Google started basically punishing anyone that was sending people outside of the platform, right? So like if you're running a Google ad and you're sending people straight to your lead form in your funnel, they were actively not showing your ad as much as everyone else who was just using the Google lead form, kind of like what you were talking about with Facebook, Ashley. So she devised a new strategy. We did, you know, we pivoted quickly and she wanted us to, she actually created a new landing page that was in the Google platform, used Zapier to then send that customer information over to Kajabi. And what did we end up seeing? Like an 8%?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Rate? And
I was like, is that real? And then I was like, maybe that was just for the day. And I'm like, nope, that was what it went up to.
Yeah, it was incredible. And she, the only reason we knew this is because she was like, okay, this campaign's performing well, but I noticed that competitors are performing better with the same keywords. And why is that? And so she dug in and was like, wait, these guys are using Google's forms. She's just very, like Cassidy said, very detailed, but she also, that's what she spends her time doing. Is all of that.
She's a Google nerd. And I mean that in the best way because I love it. Right. And we know that that's not going to be everybody's forte, right? Like I know that the course creator out there isn't going to necessarily want to invest in learning Google Ads to that degree. But that's why they have us. So then they can go to us, they can ask questions. And because she's on our team too, like how amazing is that, that like our students can come to us and say, hey, like, here's my Google Ads that's set up. And then, hey, how should I tweak it? What are you seeing? What should I look into deeper? And how do I do that? So that's something that is going to be learning, like a learning opportunity, right? So don't be scared of it.
And if you're, you know, in our Funnel Brew School elite program, then every time she gets an update from Google, which of course she shares with us in our team meetings, that's something then we're notifying all of our students about. Hey guys, the public's not going to hear about this yet, but just so you know, like this is coming. And that's just another thing that you benefit from is, is her expertise.
It's huge. It's huge. And it's all in the data too. Like you can see everything that's going on in the data, and I won't go down to that data spiel anymore, but it's all in there. And then also knowing what's coming up, because anytime any platform comes out with anything new, like I said, if you play in their sandbox, they're going to reward you, because that's all it is. It's a sandbox for them and it's a sandbox for you. They want people to test it. They want people to use it. And so it's like, come and play, and then we will, we'll show it and we'll see how it goes, because they have the ability on the back end to direct and kind of favor whatever they feel like that day.
Exactly.
They'll never say that.
Well, and like you said, by the day, I mean, that's the other crazy thing is like when I've talked to her and we've been going through campaigns together, it's like, wow, look at the difference from Tuesday to Friday.
Right.
You know, Tuesday you might've spent $600 and Friday you spent $6, but got this, it's just so, and you have to really look at it all.
Yes, exactly. And plan for it, because whatever, well, I can tell you, and Lisa, you can vouch for this, especially too. Like we've had clients come to us and they're like, hey, 2 years ago when I ran Facebook ads, this is what I got. Why am I not getting that now? Well, it's because everything's changed. And one of the main differences between Facebook and Google, and I found this explanation somewhere, who knows where, but the difference is that in Facebook, you're trying to target the type of customer, the type of persona, so to speak, right? But in Google, not only can you do that, but you're also targeting interest. Not that you're not doing that with Facebook, but it is more, it's a little bit more generic because of the privacy policy thing and like, you know, that whole legal issue. And I think that that's just going to be an ongoing thing. But Facebook has set the tone for that. So Google has been able to learn from, you know, those Facebook mistakes, or Meta, whatever the legal way of saying that is, but they've been able to learn from that. And so they're trying to stay ahead. Right. And so that's why they are going to this route of creating Google platform experiences versus getting you off of their platform. And if you think about it too, it's a lot easier for you as the course creator who's promoting this to utilize any data that is on that platform directly, because they can share that with you without you having to put in extra pixels here and there. So if you're just getting started, it might benefit you in multiple ways to stay on that platform, because they can track everything that happens on the platform. And then, yes, you can track everything off of the platform, like on your website and stuff like that, with the pixels and all of these, you know, code galore on your pages. So that's, you know, it's a kind of a toss up if you want to make the analytics a lot easier and maybe save money and still get leads and sales, then, you know, play with their platform and use those tools. I would suggest you start there and then migrate to other things and just see how that goes. That way, you know that it's easier and hopefully more effective for you as well. And if it's not, then that's when you need to visit, okay, is it the experience? Is it the wording, or is it the picture? I mean, it can be some of the quirkiest things. I've run ads for both platforms before and found that, you know, an image that is more candid and less professional works a heck of a lot better than something that looks like it is pristine and perfect. And one of the other things that I see happening with trends is not using stock images, especially for your ads. Use branded images that speak to your brand, speak to your people. Whether you are in them or not, I do think it's a plus, especially if you're creating a personalized brand as a course created, as a course creator, then, you know, absolutely put your picture, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Right. We've seen it all the time. We have seen it multiple times. We had, and this was years ago, we had several clients who were trying to run these perfect pictures. And I tossed in, you know, one or two that were off center and just were more candid and really weren't perfect. They were just taken with her phone, and those ads performed better.
Yep.
Because they're people, and people like people, and they don't want to see the perfect. They're kind of, they've kind of got their blinders on behind the perfect. They like that, hey, we're going to resonate with you type of feel. And like, hey, you're a real human being. You're not this hair and makeup and perfect all together, right? You fall apart sometimes. So right, it's okay. Exactly. And then a couple other key points I want to make about this when I mentioned the privacy policy. So let's say you are running ads, and at some point, any point during your ads, you're off of that platform. You are going to want to make sure a couple of things. You have the privacy policy on the bottom of your page. There's a link to it. You've got your terms and conditions. All of those legal jargon notes are important because, believe it or not, Facebook, Google, and probably other platforms too, they are scanning for that. And you want to make sure that you have the right wording, the right verbiage in each of those. In addition, you have to have something, as you know, with like cookies. So you want to make sure that your cookies notifications are on. And sometimes those rules are a little different depending on who you are targeting. Like if your audience is in Europe and you're targeting Europe, that might entail a different type of wording than the US. And I do know too, and I don't know why. I don't know if either of you guys know. I haven't dug into it completely, but California, something with like, if you're in California, you have to release more cookie notifications.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's gotta
be like state level laws or something.
Because even when I was working on our Shopify store over the weekend, it had like a little thing that, cause we're only selling in the US, but it had a little thing that, hey, if somebody in California goes to your site, you need to have this pop up. And I had to like enable it, which it literally is almost the same thing as the US one. I don't know what the differentiator is exactly, but I haven't wanted to take the time to do it either. I just turned it on, followed the rules, and just gonna let it go.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those things in place, what you can put at risk is obviously suspension. You know, you'll get something that says you broke the rules or you didn't follow our standards. And that's really like vague. That's a vague. It's like, what standard did I not follow? And it can be very frustrating. So sometimes you can dig a little deeper, or it has like a little bit more detail, but as long as you're checking off like the box of, hey, I do have my legal jargon in there, I've got my cookies in there, or my cookies notifications in there, then at least that eliminates that being an issue. But just make sure that that is one thing. And Lisa, I'll let you share the story about how your Facebook account got shut down. And also, I mean, I've had the same thing happen with mine personally. And then, well, my personal Facebook page isn't shut down, but my access to the ads was shut down. And so there's couple practices for this, and I'll let Lisa share her experience, because we tried like hockey sticks to get this thing back up. And this isn't new. Like it's not like we were brand new advertisers. We had been running ads for forever. But I think what happened specifically with mine is that back in the day when Facebook ads first started, the setup of it was different than it is today. So back then, you know, I could go in and I could create ad accounts for clients and then, you know, allow them to have access to it. And now it's I think it's more or less like they need to set up their own ad account and then they allow access to whoever wants to manage it. Well, because of that, past clients, you know, they made a lot of mistakes. They got flagged a lot. And then so therefore, because my name was still attached to their ad account, because for whatever reason, we couldn't remove it. I mean, again, this was years ago, years and years. And it hurt me. It hurt like my Facebook ad reputation for ads because they were making mistakes. So it's like every time they got flagged, it would still come back on me. It's like being a cosigner.
Yep.
And so even after so many conversations with Facebook ads, it was like pulling teeth. So anyways, there's that. And then I don't know, Lisa, why yours even...
Yeah, mine...
Your whole ad account was gone. I mean, your whole account was gone.
Yes. So my account, like there was like some hacking activity or suspected hacks, like something went on and they locked my account.
Yeah.
And then the only way to get it back, because I had two-factor authentication turned on, was to log in, like using a recovery login from a device that was currently logged in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't currently logged in on a device, or maybe I was, and then the LinkedIn work, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ashley and I both separately tried for like 6 hours. I'm not joking. During the day, I have called any number I could find, email. There is literally no one at Facebook I can talk to. And I was not able to recover my account, which also means I cannot recover my ad account.
Right.
And at the time we were managing tens of thousands of dollars a month in ad spend. And it was just, sorry.
Yep.
You're stuck.
Yep. So our solution around that was I added an account for my oldest son who works for us too. And luckily he was able to get in and so I was able to manage the ads from that point, but that's just not like, that's not fun. Right. And you don't want to have to do that, but best practice here, like, make sure somebody else has access to your Facebook ads, because had we not set him up to have access, I mean, I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah.
They would have just kept charging and we wouldn't have been able to stop it. And like apparently there's nothing that they can do once that happens. And I'm not sure why.
I'm wondering. There should be like a way around it somehow.
Yes. I mean, like sending my ID, and, you know, explain to them, hey, like the reason my, like nothing was wrong with our ad accounts or any of the ad accounts that we were running. Like none of them had been flagged, nothing crazy with them, but it was like old ad accounts that I'm like, guys, like I have nothing to do with whatever they're doing, but this is the way, like it's from years ago and just all the different ways to set up ads and connect ads and manage ads that all kind of came into one. And it, and so, yeah. Oh, Facebook ads. And then Google Ads is the same way, but it's not as difficult with Google Ads, and they are easier to kind of work around. They're willing to work with you. I mean, unless like you are, you know, some person that you're not really, then yeah, your ad account might be suspended for forever, but typically it's little things and it's all about building trust. And I think too, like to your note, Lisa, from earlier with how Google will prefer to keep you on their platform, I think that that's going to be especially true for new advertisers. So when you first start playing in their sandbox, like play by their rules, be on your P's and Q's, and do everything to earn that trust. It's just like they need to be able to trust, because if a visitor, so the customer comes, lands on, you know, your ad and sees it and then, you know, converts, takes engagement, whatever, if there's a complaint of any kind, then Google or Facebook, regardless, one or the other, they will get the complaint. You know, they will feel like they're not doing their job. And so then that lessens your credibility. And so you want to make sure that you are following all these rules and making sure you're checking off all the boxes, especially if you're brand new. Because another thing that I've heard is that, well, My account got flagged, and this is specifically for Facebook. My account got flagged because I'm using this image or this verbiage in my copy, but such and such has that same verbiage and their ads are running. Well, such and such has been running ads for 5 years and they spend millions of dollars a month. So yes, like they can get away with more because they have, you know, they haven't gotten complaints. They haven't, you know, they, maybe they, when they first started, they had a different set of rules and they've let it go. It's been fine. But if you think about it, it's like with our kids. So I'm just going to use this as an example. Like we could have our kids be like, okay, you can go outside and play. Okay. Hey, yeah, you can go outside and play. And then they go outside and play. Some of them though, I say some of them, like we have a million kids, but one of them might go outside and play and take that as, oh, I can go wherever I want to and go around the neighborhood because they said I could go outside and play. Whereas other kids will be like, no, I'm going to stay in the yard where she can see me.
Right.
And so they have to almost put in these boundaries because if you cross that boundary, then they're not, they're going to be less likely to trust in the future. So it's like, how far are you going to try to go out of these boundaries at first? Are you going to play by the rules, stay in the boundaries? And then as you build trust, oh, I can go a little bit further. I can go a little bit further. And so that's kind of the way you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that a good analogy? I don't know where that
came from. It's funny, but yes, because I mean, I could like envision my kids, right? Like one of my kids would totally be the one staying in the yard because she knows I could see her. And the other one would be gone. Just
yes.
Gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got one that'll be like the tattletale who's like,
yes.
Yeah.
The guardian.
Yep.
Such and such did this. Like they're not gonna be able to get away with anything.
Exactly.
So yeah, just take that into account because those are important. At the end of the day, I think what Lisa didn't like Molly say that the whole purpose of this too was just because they're really focused on the customer experience.
Yes. They're basically completely focused on the customer not feeling like taken advantage of or feeling like they're having to go fill out information on some unverified site, yada, yada. Like they basically want it to be super smooth and seamless.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want the customer to find it to be easy and speaking to them. Because if it doesn't, or if it's like they opt into something and then they go to a sales page that is not even related, or, you know, that's just, yeah, that's a bad experience for them. You know, that's not something, hey, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
So any kind of misleading information is also key, even if you don't mean it. So let's say you are running an online course ad and you've got an opt-in for something that is not related. Okay. So right, here's an example. Like here's an opt-in for, I can't even think of something that
let's say like a, you know, a 7-day fitness program.
Okay. 7-day fitness program opt-in. And then they go to a course that is all about mindset coaching.
Exactly.
So those two, even though in your mind, because I know how like fitness and mindset tie into each other, but there's this gap. And so that gap needs to be filled big time.
Yep.
Because it doesn't make sense to the person that's opting in. So let's say I want to get in shape. So I opt into this free 7-day challenge fitness thing. Okay. Maybe inside that challenge, you're talking about mindset and you're educating them, right? But they don't know that at that point. They're just looking for whatever they assume, whatever, you know, their perspective of what that opt-in is going to be.
Yep.
Then after they opt in, maybe they get on your email list, maybe they go to an upsell page. And then that's about like, you know, getting your mindset right. And if you don't connect those dots, that's going to be the bad experience for them because it's going to seem confusing. It's going to seem like, how did I even get here? I don't know anything about mindset. Mindset doesn't matter. You know, whatever their opinion is, whatever their perspective is,
yeah,
that's the customer experience. So it's almost like you have to make it so that a kindergartner could go through, and these are literally like baby steps. So it's a baby step way to build onto them. So our opt-in right now, we've got a couple, but you know, one of our opt-ins is using power words. So like how to use different words that you might commonly use and just make them more powerful by using a different type of word, or, you know, adding, you know, a couple other words before or after it and really getting their attention. And then it goes into, you know, the sales funnel and how copy matters. And, you know, that's the first thing that they read. That's the first thing that they see. And it's ultimately like your messaging. So those two tie into each other, but if it's something that just isn't, it can throw them off, and it can get your ad either shut down completely, flagged, or it can also just not be shown as much. So it's a number of things. Those are things you definitely want to keep your eyes on for that experience. I haven't had a bad experience with ads, but I'm also just, for whatever reason, whenever I'm on the computer, I'm like so focused in on our stuff that I don't
care
anything else. Instagram will get me though. Instagram was like, I click on everything. It's like, I have to not be on Instagram because I know that it's a distraction.
I purchase so much stuff from Instagram ads. It's not even funny.
Yeah. And it's so, like, they've made it stupid easy.
Yeah.
Like, and they're pretty good. Yeah. And they're pretty good ads. Like, it's usually pretty
spot on. It's crazy. It's crazy. The algorithm definitely has me figured out.
Absolutely. I actually just signed up for a clothing. I get like a clothing box every month.
Is it for pregnancy?
Well, they have pregnancy and non-pregnancy stuff. So I was like, oh, good. Well, I'll just get that.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I haven't done that in forever because, well, I'm always the type that never sends anything back. And I think that they know that. So it's like, okay, we're going to send her this box and she has the option to send it back. Well, there's different ones. There's obviously ones that you send it back and then you get another box. And then there's ones that will send you the box and like, hey, if you don't send it back, you're buying all this stuff.
but they are
cool, especially if you don't want to get out of the house and they can figure you out
or you have
what your style is. Yes, especially 2-year-olds and a newborn that you're gonna have. Anything else that like I'm missing? Well, Lisa, if you want to talk briefly about like how to measure success.
Yeah.
On either platform, these are important.
I think your best thing to do is grab a template that someone else has already created in terms of like which metrics are important to track.
Yes.
And also like what the benchmarks are for each of those. Because, you know, like, how are you supposed to know, okay, you know, my click-through rate is 0.8%. Like, is that even good?
Right.
And so knowing which metrics to track, what the benchmarks are for each of those metrics that you want to be hitting.
And for each of the platforms. Like,
for, yes, exactly. They totally differ. And then kind of my rule of thumb is when we launch a campaign for a client or for us, I watch it like a hawk those first 24 hours just to make sure nothing is like crazy off. And then I look again at 48 hours and at 72 hours. And after that point, I typically update weekly. And once your campaign is really, if you've got one that is just solid, you've been running it for a while, then you could even potentially move to monthly. But I think the important thing is to really look at those metrics and then compare what you're seeing to metrics that you're getting off of your platforms, your email campaigns. What are your customers doing? Are they purchasing, you know, some things and not others? Like, what is happening? What are they doing?
Yeah.
And then using that kind of that data to inform what decisions you're going to make, right?
Yes.
If my ads are performing well, but nothing else is happening on my sales or my opt-ins, then I'm clearly targeting the right people, but something's falling short with what I'm offering.
Yes.
And then you know what to look at. Whereas if your ads aren't performing, no one's even going to get to the point
where they
can, you know, consume what you're offering. And so then you have to really focus in and hone in on, okay, what am I doing wrong? Is it my headlines? Is it the pictures I'm using? Is the type of keywords that I'm, you know, either including or not including, all of that. So, I mean, I think like an overarching theme, I feel like, Ashley, with us is just data and metrics. Like you have to know what you're looking at, why, and what to do with that information.
Yeah. And don't be afraid of it. Like data is just a word.
Yep.
But it is, it's too important for you to be scared of it. Even as a business owner, I think you might assume that if you hire somebody that they're doing and following the rules and you put all their trust in them, right? Right out of the gate because they say that they can do it. But a good ads person will also explain to you what the benchmarks are and have a standard of where they're trying to meet and where they're trying to get from it. Because the number, I mean, guys, like the number of people I have gone behind who have hired ads people that were even in Forbes. Okay. They were, or their business was in Forbes magazine. And then I go and I look at their ads and I'm like, holy crap. So there's a lot of money that's been wasted. And I'm not trying to scare anybody about, hey, don't hire an ads person, because I think that there's two things. You can hire an ads person, but at least understand the data, the very basic data. Like you don't have to get into the whole like detail of the data, but if you know what's good, what's bad, and they're sharing that with you, then that is the key component. Right. And don't assume that your ads aren't working after a week. Like it takes anywhere from, I mean, your ad could start working right away, but it takes probably a good 3 months of consecutive ads for you to get real meat and potatoes from it and to be able to really determine, okay, these ads worked, this keyword worked, this didn't work, and get it to actually be optimized to be consistent. Because at first, everybody's learning. The platform's learning. Everything's learning.
And I think that's the most important thing. And the thing that people don't understand the most is like, it might be, your ads might be doing well in terms of how the metrics are. You may have gotten a sale here and there, but the biggest thing is that it's learning. The platform's learning you. It's learning about your buyers. Like if you just run it for 2 weeks and turn it off because you didn't get a sale, you're never going to get a sale from ads. Like you got to let it, it's got to have a chance.
Right. Especially too. I mean, this is where your budget comes into play. Your budget, you know, you might want to, hey, I want to throw thousands and thousands of dollars at it right out of the gate. I wouldn't suggest that. If you are just now starting ads, start small, increase as you go, because I don't want somebody to expect that they're going to have like all of this, all of these sales because they spend more, because the platform still needs to learn you. Right. And again, it goes back to the trust thing. Like they have to learn your audience. They have to see, you know, who's clicking, and then you'll be able to see, are they the right people through your Google Analytics or Facebook, you know, it shares all of that data. And you might even realize that like a certain age group is better and they have a higher click-through rate. So you might eliminate the other ones. Like there's so many variables to pay attention to, but you have to pay attention to it. You can't just assume that it's all working the way that you had on paper that it would work. The benchmarks are benchmarks, meaning those are like averages, but that doesn't mean it's the average for day one. It doesn't mean that's the average for month one. It means that as you are optimizing, that if you're hitting those metrics, then this is the way it would go. And that's why you work with professionals that know this while you learn it and are teaching you as you go too, because just because you have a template to know, you know, these things should work, it's really important for you to learn why they work and why they don't. And as marketing and things develop, it will put you in a place where you're not ever feeling like you have to recreate the wheel or you have to catch up again, because you're going to be able to know your metrics and know the benchmarks of where things are at. And then you'll be able to make really, really good informed decisions for any launch, any offer, anything you want, you'll be able to predict.
Right.
But you have to go through that hard stuff first. And that's, I think, takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of learning, but it's really just about consistency. It's just like learning to tie your shoe. I mean, I remember as a kid, like focusing on tying the bows or like the bunny ears, whatever. And then you just get it. And now it's second nature. It's like driving a car. Like you can drive for miles and not even remember driving because it's like Groundhog Day.
Yep.
So it's the same thing with your ads. So it's nothing that you need to be scared of. See it as an opportunity because there's profit in that opportunity. And from there, you know, turn it over. So maybe like the first few months you are working with either, like if you're in Funnel Brew School, we'll help you look over your ads and kind of help you determine where to make changes, whether that's in the ad or in the page, what we're seeing, and you'll pick it up a heck of a lot faster than trying to navigate it on your own. Mm-hmm. And then it will become second nature at a faster pace than if you're just trying to learn everything from start to finish, or even if you hire somebody, because you don't necessarily know that the person that you're hiring really knows what they're doing, or if they're just saying that they know what they're doing. And just being able to really optimize from there. However, if you have somebody that is running your ads and they're sharing the pieces with you, and then you're also in Funnel Brew School, you should be golden, golden. But you can do it on your own. You absolutely can. And you should, because then if you hire anybody, you'll also know, hey, they really know what they're doing because they're doing it right. Cause you'll be able to know that from day one. If they're following the rules and like really practicing the things that have been working for your business. And just know that every industry is different. Every audience is different. Your audience might engage higher level with a static image versus a video. It really all varies and it's dependent on your ad. You guys want to like tell them about Hotjar? Hotjar is like free, and that's another cool tool that you can get on any page, and it helps you kind of navigate.
Yeah. So it basically, you just put in the sites that you want Hotjar to be loaded onto. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you these awesome heat maps. And so it can give you videos, it gives you stills, and it essentially shows like what people are doing on that page. Mm-hmm. Where are they spending time? Where does their cursor stop? Like to kind of indicate they're reading, where are they actually clicking, or are they hovering? You know, is everybody hovering over this button, but no one's clicking on it? Yeah. It just kind of gives you some extra insight onto, okay, you know, people are getting to this page. Like, what are they doing once they're there?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as an example, I mean, we've noticed that with a particular platform, and I won't call it out, but with a particular flat platform, the checkout would lose people. Yeah. So they'd get to the checkout and click on the button, like they did all the things. And then for whatever reason, they wouldn't check out.
Right.
And in the past, when I have used that same platform, but used a different checkout platform and connected the two, the conversions went up.
Right.
So it's been interesting to recognize that, because I think somebody that wasn't educated on looking at each individual step that the customer is having might assume that a couple things. They might assume that the ads aren't working. They might quickly assume that their sales page sucks. Yeah. And then they spend all this time trying to redo the sales page. But then in actuality, it wasn't the sales page at all. The sales page was great. It was the checkout.
Yep.
So it really like full circle comes down to the customer experience from the very starting point to the ending point. Yeah. To make sure and to see the big picture of where things are working and where they're not. And then just optimizing as you go. And you'll find like that's the only way really to get there. You don't have to recreate the wheel. You don't have to recreate your offer. Oh my gosh. You don't have to lower your price. You don't have to do all these crazy things that you think are going to help, because at the end of the day, it just comes down to diving into that data. And that's relevant regardless if you're running ads or not.
Exactly. I mean,
the data is always there.
Right.
Anything else? I think it's a lot. But if you start off with something small, like Lisa said, you know, go get a template to kind of know your starting points or where your benchmarks should be, and make sure that that template, this is another thing to keep in mind, make sure that the template or anything or anywhere you're getting information from is up to date. Mm-hmm. When I was scrolling through YouTube this weekend from our own market research, I noticed that I'd type in like a topic and the videos that would pop up would be anywhere from a month ago to 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like the people that are watching that from 5 years ago, if they're watching it, they're getting like outdated information.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that YouTube hasn't caught on to that, which is, I don't know. It's not relevant though. So it's funny how, you know, that can be pushed to the top of a search, but the content that's in that video, it just isn't accurate for today.
Exactly.
So make sure that you're paying attention to any information that you're reading, whether that's a blog or a podcast or a YouTube video, whatever, that it's fairly recent, because it has to be, or it has to be, keep in mind of the changes that are happening this year and beyond.
Right.
Because it's not 5 years ago. It's not even a year ago. Like, even if you watch videos a year ago, chances are you're going to hear some form of advice that isn't accurate today. And then you immediately are like, oh my gosh, they don't know what they're doing. This didn't work. And it's like, but why didn't it work? It's not because it didn't work then. It just doesn't work now. So that is that. Anything else that you can think of, Lisa or Cassidy?
No, I don't think so. This has been a good discussion.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, we're all real people. We're all humans. Just don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of the tech, or if you are afraid of the tech, have a helping hand at it, 'cause it's not as scary as you might assume. And also don't just assume that you're not techie, because it's not going to get any less techie as we move forward. So, exactly. You know, it made me think this morning. I was on my way to get coffee and I was thinking to myself, you know, like back when they had the yellow book, right? I'm pretty sure that there was like a salesperson that was like the yellow book salesperson who would go, you know, business to business, getting them to fill out a form to submit their, you know, create your ad, and like handwritten forms. And even then that was like, you know, modern marketing.
Yep.
Because not everybody was in the yellow pages. So things are evolving. Things are always going to be evolving. That's not going to change. So you might as well just go with it, unless you don't want your business to succeed. I mean, you kind of have to. And I think most of our the people that are listening to this podcast and the people that are on our email list, they're in this, you know, anywhere from just starting off to having a somewhat high ticket offer, but they're still fairly new, or they're just in this place where they're really just trying to get consistency.
Yeah.
And so that's the beauty of how ads and analytics can all create that consistency with your leads and your sales and just overall scaling and growth. That's all, that's what it's all about. So, all right. Well, you guys awesome. Have an amazing week. Be sure to tune in next week and leave us a review if you love this podcast. Bye.
Bye.